One thing that gives me some of the greatest joy and fulfillment in ministry is speaking with, listening to people who are trying to discern a call that might be on their heart. Trying to hear more closely what God is saying to them, and inevitably what God might be saying, the call, the voice that is rising up out of the heart, does not make terribly much sense according to logical and practical and expected standards. Do you know what I'm talking about? The voice of God often has some wild things to say. I really love entering into sharing in this work of discernment. And I had the opportunity, the privilege yesterday, to listen to somebody who was trying to make sense of what God might be saying to them. It strikes me that these calls, these like forces of magnetism, or these nudges, these still small voices of the heart, bear some similarities. Though God speaks only to us and only to our heart, which our Lord has created, we can take some comfort in that the wild things that God says bear some similarities. So I had the privilege of listening to somebody yesterday who was trying to make sense of what God might be saying, where God might be calling her in starting seminary. Gosh, what does it take to start seminary? It takes leaving a lot behind, leaving some practical work that pays money, that pays the bills. And even though some seminaries offer some part-time, some flexible options, there was always an opportunity cost. You're not going to make more money during your time in seminary than you would be if you were working in a regular position. How does one wrestle with that? And God tends to speak to us when our lives are a mess, which in my case is every day. We should not wait until our lives are tidy, until we have it all together, to then listen for the voice of God, because our Lord will meet us exactly and precisely when things are spinning out of control, when we don't have it all together, when the ends might not be meeting. It is exactly then that our Lord loves to speak with us. A person I was speaking with yesterday spoke to me poignantly about this reality, echoing the types of patterns I have heard before and absolutely that I have wrestled with and continue to wrestle with. How can God be calling me? Why is God pausing to speak to me? Does not God recognize how broken I am, how I do not have it all together, and how following the call I believe that I'm hearing will cause me to give up even more, will cause me to risk letting things spin even more out of control? How could I possibly make ends meet when going to seminary. I am already so broken. What do I have to offer? And most poignantly, what I heard in the conversation was something like, I'm starting to wonder, or at least I'm starting to hope, that following Jesus means getting very acquainted with my vulnerability and my brokenness and letting God use it. Following Jesus must mean letting God use everything about me, especially all of the broken parts, and trusting that wherever God calls me, nothing is wasted. God is always making me new. I think this person was on to something very wise. I think this person is well on their way to following the call that Jesus is placing on the heart. I think that this person is being very bold in listening acutely to what Jesus is saying, even and especially in brokenness and risk and indeed vulnerability. It is exactly this that I believe Jesus is getting at as he speaks with Mary and Martha. Our beloved Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. This is not the only time that we encounter these sisters. And here comes Jesus entering the village, and Martha opens her home. Martha welcomes him into her home. And Martha's sister Mary drops what she's doing, lets go of what is expected of her, and sits at the Lord's feet to listen to what he was saying. This was especially bold of Mary, because we can imagine at that time, there was even more burden for women to carry on the responsibilities of the home. There was very much a social and personal expectation for the woman to carry out the responsibilities of the household, and for Mary to set that down for a few minutes, or maybe it was a few hours, was a radically bold move, showing exemplary courage. But that's not quite how her sister Mary was picturing it. Martha was picturing it at that time. There is Martha preparing their meal, clearing some space for them to inhabit, making sure that the room was comfortable. Martha trying to be as hospitable, indeed being as hospitable as she could imagine how to be. Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and I would add perhaps made her a little passive aggressive in this moment, because she speaks not to her sister Mary, but to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? If so, please tell her to step it up. And we can hear the love with which Jesus' response is saturated. We can anticipate that because he repeats the name twice. Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Worried and distracted by many things. Distraction, certainly in the Greek word used here, but equally in our English usage of it, means to be pulled in different directions, to be drawn away from the center, to be separated from the whole, to be fragmented, to be agitated in the mind. Martha, Martha, you are pulled in so many directions. Your heart is fragmented and you're forgetting what's important here. There are many who call the time in which we live an age of distraction. There is one scholar of technology who, speaking of the internet and even more so through social media and our phones that accompany us always, that are supposedly smarter than we are, this technology scholar says that now more than ever, we live in continuous partial attention. Continuous partial attention. And we're not alone in this because Martha is distracted herself. So we cannot only blame the technology that we currently use. But this state of continuous partial attention is exhibited when we, check our email one more time just to see if anything came in. Or we check our voicemail, did anybody call? Or we flip on the TV to catch the latest in the news, all of which are very good and necessary things to do in themselves. But do you know that feeling of checking the news or the messages because it feels really productive and we almost do it out of habit? Because it feels like the right thing to do. It feels like we get a lot done when we do it. But I think that Jesus is pressing us and redirecting us today. Can we stay a little longer? Can we listen a little longer? Might it be that the truth that is on our hearts, the truth that our Lord is yearning to speak to us, the truth that nourishes and refreshes us, is with us, but it takes a little bit more of our time to listen deeply enough to what it's saying, much less than what to do about it. Martha, my dear Martha, I see you. And to be clear, Jesus here is speaking to the pain and problem of distraction. He is not speaking at all. He is not discrediting or discounting one iota, as it were, to name the tiniest little Greek letter, the work of hospitality and of service. It is necessary and good to cook and to clean and to prepare and to care physically and practically for one another. Jesus is always using agricultural metaphors, so we know he knows quite a lot of what it takes to bring food to the table, both in the home and, importantly, before it even enters the home. The work of farming and gardening and the months and the years that go into preparing a simple bite of nourishing food. Hospitality and service are necessary and intrinsic to what it is to follow Jesus. What Jesus is saying is that our hearts hurt a lot when they're distracted. And Jesus loves for us to pay attention to him. Martha, my dear Martha, I see you and I see all that you are doing and I love you and I love everything that you're doing and I know that it's tearing at your heart. There is more, Martha. There is more. There is need of only one thing, he says. Mary has chosen the better part. And if we were to look at the Greek here, it would simply say the good part. The good part, meaning what is needed in this moment. What is needed to appreciate the beauty that is at hand, the nourishment, the deep nourishment of our soul that is right in front of us. The need, in fact, to be aware of our pain and the many tasks that demand its attention. There is more to this, Martha. Listen to the good part. My sons like to listen to Andy Grammer. He's a really good singer. And we have a playlist of their favorites that we listen to most times when we're driving. And among all of their favorite songs of Andy Grammer, my favorite is the one called The Good Parts. And it is these words which I feel like Jesus is speaking to Martha and definitely to me and maybe to some of us here. Listen to this. I'm sorry if I seem impatient, he says. I'm not a fan of pleasantries. See, I get bored with the weather and what's in the news. The topics we all hide beneath. Could not care less about your day job, he says, the gossip or the ordinary stress. See, every relationship I've ever loved, it starts when someone says, show me where it hurts. Give me something real. Lead me to the part of you that never really heals. Say the words that burn when they leave your mouth. Tell me your story, but don't leave the good part out. Listen to Jesus. Continue to sing to us today. Tell me all about your failures, the little things that make you cry. Tell me the acts that you preach but you cannot seem to practice, that leave you compromised. Show me where it hurts. Give me something real. Lead me to the part of you that never really heals. Say the words that burn when they leave your mouth. Tell me your story, and don't leave the good parts out. Amen.